Pastor Brian's been talking about the dimensions of Zion and coming back to Zion and coming back to the truth and the protocols of what church should be. And so this morning I just wanted to talk about, you know, how relevant is the church? How relevant is the church? So I hear, you know, I hear this word a lot. You know, the church needs to be relevant. You know, what does that mean? And so I've got some thoughts on that this morning. But first of all, you know, what is the church's role? So I really believe it's to bring the kingdom. So in the Lord's Prayer, it says, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just really believe that that's, you know, part of the call of the church is to bring the kingdom of God, you know, and to earth like it is in heaven. You know, bring the kingdom into the lives of people. Why has Lee, you know, had such a, you know, in his case, you know, a dramatic change? It's because the kingdom came. You know, and he said in some instances things happened really quickly and in others it was a process. So, but the kingdom came and the kingdom is now the bigger force or the dominant force in his heart, in his life. So to build the church of the living God, that's the call of the church. So Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I spoke briefly just about that word church last week. You know, in training, it means ecclesia. You know, and we talked about what that meant. So we're coming back to the original purpose of the church. So ecclesia, you know, it's the Greek word for church in that scripture. And it represents a coming together, you know, to make policies and decisions. You know, so church is not just, you know, a gathering place. Pastor Brian's been talking about this, about the difference between AI and Bethel. You know, AI means, you know, I think something like a group of stones or something, or a, you know, rubble or something like that. So whereas Bethel, it's the house of God. So, you know, we're not just to be a group of people, although that's good. There's a greater call. There's a greater purpose. Does that make sense? So everyone that sat in the church, you know, in the early days in that place called Ecclesia, they had a role to play. They had a role that wasn't just they were there for a good time or anything. They had a role. They had a, you know, position's not a great word, but they had, you know, a function. You know, they had something that they could contribute, you know, to that place. So, a church that's relevant, that's a snapshot, what I think church should be. So a church that is relevant, it does not mean having the latest modernized equipment or technology. Okay, modern doesn't mean relevant. People think that they're relevant to the time because they're well equipped. Great stuff is there to facilitate the move of God. It's just called modernization. If you have good stuff, doesn't make you relevant. Wearing the latest fashion trends. I went shopping yesterday. This is all new. Okay, just because you dress well, Lee, doesn't mean anything. Not you. I'll take that away because the rest of my statement, you might feel like I'm having a go at you. Just because I am well dressed doesn't mean anything on the inside's changed. Just because I'm well presented, just because my Facebook status looks like I have a great life, doesn't mean that there's change that's gone on the inside. You know, who's ever, you know, bitten into, who's ever, I've done this a bit, you know, you get this orange and you're just like, yeah, or a mandarin or something, or, you know, a pear maybe. And you're just like, and it's just the most sour, grossest thing you've ever eaten. Who's ever done that? Yeah, we all have. Yeah, we can all relate. It's kind of like that. You know, just because, you know, that the outside looks great doesn't mean that change has really taken place or hold on the inside. A message tailored to make you feel good, that's not relevant. And I hope I'm not upsetting you this morning. I'm just telling you what I think, what I believe, you know, and we'll get into what I think is relevant. And I hope, I think it's from the Word of God. So giving a message people want to hear, this is not relevant. Pampering to self or, you know, to maintain the crowd, this is called performance. It's not relevance. Rigid management structure, you know, we're all in this together. We are here to finish the assignment together. We operate more like a family than a business. You know, this is what I believe this our church is like this. You know, I've seen this so often where, you know, churches can take a worldly management structure and bring it into the church and we Christianize it. And I am going somewhere with this. You know, we can think we're relevant because we're up with the latest management structures or boards. It just means you're well managed. It doesn't make you relevant. Now, are these things bad? It's not a trick question. Are these things bad? No. They're fine, but it doesn't make us relevant. It's not what the church was established by Christ for. Because the world does it better anyway. The world has better clothes, better management, better technology, better concerts, more people turning up, all that sort of thing. So why try and compete? Church is meant for so much more. Your life was meant for so much more. You know what I reckon? The broken don't care about our management structure. The broken don't care how good I'm dressed. They don't care. That doesn't make it relevant. People that are, you know, broken and addicted and convicted and whatever, they don't care about how good my message is or how well I'm dressed or how well the structure of our church works. That is good. We need that. We need to be smart. We need to, you know, operate, you know, accurately and correctly. I get that. But it's not relevant. You know, people want to find a church where there's purpose, you know, where there's destiny, you know, where they can find healing, you know, where lives can be restored. You know, and we heard about one this morning, and over the last few weeks we've heard, you know, about others, and those that have been around for a while would be able to look around the room and see restored lives, healed lives. You know, people want to find a future and a hope, you know, find their home. They want to find their connection point with heaven. They want to find God. You know, not me, not you. You might be the conduit for that, but they want to find, whether they even know it or not, that's what they want. It's God. It's a connection with their heavenly Father. So City Builders can be that place. We're not the only place, but it can be one of the places. It can be that place. And I think it's a darn good place. You know, this is a place where you will find destiny. You know, where you will find hope. You know, where you will find healing. You know, this is that sort of place where you can find family. So what does it mean to be relevant? And I've got a few points this morning. I think I've got 3 or 4 points. So number one, there's a power to meet the needs of the people in the house. So if you just turn to Matthew 14, verse 13. And it's just the story of feeding the 5,000. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So first off, there's a power to meet the needs of the people in the house. So we can't allow the needs to pressure the church. but we need to have the power to meet every need that comes along. So I hope that makes sense. If people are sick, we can bring healing. You know, if people are oppressed, you know, we can set them free. We can't, but Christ can. Whatever the needs are, they need to be met when they come to church. The church will be irrelevant if the people's needs are not met. If we want to be relevant as a church, we must have the power to break strongholds over people's lives. So the need may not seem important to you. You know, in all honesty, I can get like this from time to time. You know, you get so self-obsessed that, you know, that's probably a harsh way of putting it, but, you know, life gets busy. You know, that you don't worry about, you know, what other things others are going through, and you can't allow that to derail you. Because someone's having a hard time, you cannot allow that to take you off course or get just so down and out. Then both of you are down and out, and you're no good for either of you. All right, but you need to be able to come along and have something on the inside of you. You know, Christ strong enough on the inside of you that you can bring hope. You can, you know, bring something to that individual. So the need may not seem important to you, but it's important to them because they came to your house looking for a need to be fulfilled. So there's a power to meet the needs of the people. King David met the needs of his men before they went into battle. You know, if people come in and they have fear in their hearts, for instance, and we go, rightio, let's go out, and we take them out on the street for some, you know, outreach type of thing, they're going to freak them out. So we need to be able to deal with the needs of people. So we need to have a place that allows people to be set free, you know, that lets people become healed, that lets people become delivered and restored. So there's a power to meet the needs of the people in the house. Number two, there's a power to transform lives permanently. Amen. So there's an energy, there's a presence, is, you know, God is big enough in this place that he can restore lives permanently. And it can happen. This room is testament. I don't know every single person in this room, but I know most. And this room is testament to this point. So a thief must stop stealing. A liar must stop lying. You know, an addict must stop shooting up. The nature must change. So, but many times the nature in people doesn't change. So you can come to church, I'm talking a lot about clothes today, come to church wearing fancy clothes, but if the nature of the person doesn't change, they'll always be a thief, if that's what you came in as. Does that make sense? Just a good looking one. So I remember, you know, and I spoke a bit about this last week, you know, where on my early days here, someone prayed over me and prophesied over me that I was like timber going into the mill. So it's talking about a process. It's talking about change. It's talking about cutting away different things. Not always easy. Not always does it feel great. Sometimes it feels really average. But if we allow that process to take change, then internally things begin to change. Does that make sense? So for me, you know, my nature had to change. The way I talked needed to change. The way I behaved and the way I acted, you know, needed to change. I'm still me. Don't worry. I'm still Julian. I still have the same stupid sense of humor that I did when I first came here and all the rest of that. But there's a change that's taken place, you know, on the inside of me as I've, you know, allowed myself to go on this journey. So each day, each year, change must be able to take place. So I'm talking about, you know, what I think makes the church relevant. And I hope this is making sense this morning. So we must have, you know, you must have the power in your mouth to bring about change, you know, to bring about life, to be able to declare things, you know, almost to be able to, and this is a strong word, but demand change, not over an individual, but over in an atmosphere. So does that make sense? So internally in me, I demand change needs to take place because I want to see my family live a certain way. Does that mean I, you know, yell and scream at my wife and kids? No, that's not what I mean by the word demand. But it just means, you know, really taking control of, you know, my own action and my own thought and the own process that's going on the inside of me. So Ephesians 4. 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, and it goes on. So we're talking just before about, you know, a thief. So the thief must change his nature. You know, prison doesn't change anyone in my limited experience and understanding. Not that I've been there, but I know people that have been there, and I've heard a lot of stories about people that have been there, and I'm yet to hear one where prison changed their life. Most who come out of prison become worse. There's constant reoffending. And I'm just giving examples because we've got the nature must change on the inside. So in Ephesians 4:22, it says that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and he is renewed in the spirit of your and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we're talking about, you know, changing the nature, you know, putting off the old man, you know, grabbing hold of the new. So there's a power to transform lives permanently. The relevant church has the power to transform lives. If you've not allowed change in you, how can you expect to have the power to be a conduit or to be that transformation in another person's life? So it doesn't mean we've got to be perfect, but we've got to have been, you know, we've got to be able to enter the process, you know, and allow Christ to really begin to truly transform us so that what's on the inside represents what we're putting out to society. You know, like I get a kick sometimes out of just some of the stuff I see on Facebook because I think, I know that's not true. And that's not being judgmental. I'm just giving this as an example. You know, sometimes we can put out there this persona of something that's just not right. And people are just hurting on the inside, you know, and broken on the inside. You know, so what I'm talking about is the, you know, the church that is really relevant are going to have the answers for someone that walks through that door that's just broken. And you know, and whatever in life, disheartened and, you know, addicted and, you know, all those things. And there's going to be an answer here. And it's not necessarily you, but you are part of it. It's Jesus Christ, definitely. But you can be the catalyst for that. You can be the one that brings them along on that journey. Number three, there's a message of truth. So we must be able to receive the message of truth. We must be able to give the message of truth. So our word, our message, it must lift people higher. You know, must bring, you know, give hope to people. It must bring joy to people. You know, must be able to bring them along on a journey. You know, not tear them down or make them feel bad or anything like that, but say, no, you can do this. You know, God can make a way. There's hope. You know, our the way we talk, you know, must be like that. So our word, our message must lift people higher. We can't just, you know, offer comfort in their suffering. Can't just offer. Yes, you need to be able to come alongside someone and love them where they're at definitely, but we can't just offer that. We need to be able to lift them up. We need to be able to bring them to another place. We need to be able to, you know, bring them to an introduction with Jesus. You know, the truth of the word must come to people, you know, not just, you know, in a nice sermon or a, you know, a fancy anecdote or something like that. But it's, you know, it's you, you know, representing Christ and coming alongside someone and loving them and loving them. This is one of the things there's many things I love about Pastor Brian and Lynn, but one of the things I love about Pastor Brian and Lynn that I would love to be able to have built in my life is this ability to be able to continually loving people. It doesn't matter what they've done, you know, or where people are at or anything like that. They just seem to be able to still walk through that door or make the phone call and go, come on, you can do this. You can do this. And I see most of you nodding because it's true. It's true. So, you know, that's how truth can be represented. Just turn to John 5 with me, please. John 5, 1 to 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Remember that, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And I've just got something I want to, you know, really encourage you with this morning, you know, in this. So it's a story of Jesus came to the pool of Bethesda, and there was a man there for 38 years. No answers to his prayers. So he'd been there a long time. And 38 years, he was trying to, you know, do what he had to do, you know, to get into that that pool to be made well. So there's no answers in his prayers, but he was faithful. So sometimes so many of us can be sitting in church even for so long and not see our answers, not see our miracles. And I want to encourage you this morning. You know, some of us even attending church every week, but not seeing your miracle. You know, and we can get hooked on, you know, a tradition. You know, like this man, you know, he's waiting for the river, the pool to be stirred up and to get into the water so that he could be healed. It was the only way in his mind he thought that he was going to get healed. And if he had have got in there, he would have. But my point is, he was there every day, religiously, for 38 years. And it was like a tradition. You know, this tradition had set up on the inside of him internally or whatever. This is what I had to do. But it just took one encounter with one man, one word. You know, Jesus gave him one word in verse 8. Jesus said to him, "Rise up, you know, take your bed and walk." One word, one encounter. Lee, one encounter. Pastor Brian, the way he explains it is Lee stumbled into the tent. I don't know what happened, but either way, he came into the tent, one encounter. You know, one word, one time, something changed. Something shifted. You know, so after all that time, one word, you know, one fresh encounter. And I just want to encourage you, you know, this morning, if you feel like that, you know, where it's just your what you're looking for, you know, whether it's a breakthrough, whether it's something fresh from heaven, whether it's, you know, a physical healing, you know, whether it's some sort of, you know, breakthrough, you know, with things that we just struggle with in life, whatever it might be, you know, doesn't matter. One fresh word, one fresh encounter, you know, can change things, can change it. You know, what you're looking for is not lost. You know, God's word will give you the answer. There's a fresh new word coming. You know, and if you've been around, you know, for certainly the ones that are here week in, week out, especially for the last, you know, 12 months, you would have felt that there's something fresh happening. There's something new taking place. There's people that have been around here for a long time that are beginning to step over that line, you know, and come into something fresh and come into something new. It's the truth of the word. You know, stand on what God's saying now. You know, don't maybe look back over, you know, in this case, the 38 years, you know, of what life was like. Stand on the word now. Stand on today's word. You know, stand on what God's saying to you now. You know, what you're hearing now. You know, allow that to be the thing that guides you. Allow that to be the word that changes you. It doesn't mean we discount everything like that. I'm not saying that. But sometimes when in our minds things are prolonged, we can set a position. And then all of a sudden everything we hear is heard from this position. You know, we've heard Pastor Brian talk about that, about, you know, being, you know, a rusted on position. You know, where and it's amazing what we can hear when we have a certain position, you know, in our mind or whatever. You know, I know I've heard of things, you know, even in here where someone said something encouraging to someone, and because of their position, they've actually gone and thought they said something completely different. So it happens. That's fine, but we've got to be able to get off that place, you know, that rusted position, you know, if that makes sense, and hear the word today. You know, that one fresh encounter can begin to just shift and change everything. And number four, and I'm almost done, and I hope this has been okay. We're talking about, you know, what's relevant. And I want to talk about this for a couple of reasons. One, it kind of follows on, you know, with what Pastor Brian's been talking about, you know, about coming back to Zion. But I also want you to know that church is so much more than what we give it credit for sometimes. It is not just a place to gather. It is not just, if that's the case, go play golf. You'd have a lot more fun. That's what I think. But it's a place of healing. You know, it can be a place where you meet God. You know, it can be a place where you hear the truth of the word. It can be a place where everything on the inside of you can come to a place of just freedom and joy and life. Number four, there is the tangible presence of God in your midst. And I hope this morning, I don't know about you, but I felt God. You know, when we were worshiping this morning, even now, you know, I feel God. You know, it says where two or more are gathered, God's there. So God is here. Yeah. You know, it's just whether we can open ourselves up to encounter that or to feel that. So you can't beat the presence of God. Yeah. Cannot beat the presence of God. The presence of God is not just a feeling. You know, it's not just goosebumps. But it's the tangible presence of God. You know, it's God entering in. You might feel that sort of stuff when you feel God, but it's more than that. You know, the tangible presence of God changes lives. It changes hearts. It heals. It delivers. It sets free. So we don't want just an awareness of God. We want His tangible presence. You know, this is what makes the difference. This is what makes, I believe, church relevant, where there's the tangible presence of God. Because that's, like I said, is what will change a heart. That is what will meet someone where they're at. We can love, we can encourage, we can, you know, help direct people, we can get alongside them, we can point them in the right directions, we can, you know, build the word on the inside of them, we can do all that sort of stuff, but it's Christ that changes a life. It's the tangible presence of God that touches a heart and changes it. You know, Saul, he couldn't attack David because the presence of God was with him. Daniel in the lion's den, the Spirit of God was on him. Nothing could touch him. The lions couldn't touch him. Paul and Silas in prison, and Auntie Mari had a dream about that the other night. The presence of God, you know, came and they were set free. So the tangible presence of God is just amazing. The more God we have in our church, the more relevant we become. The more presence of God, the more tangible presence of God that we have in our hearts and in this house, the more relevant we become. Because people can find true healing. It's got nothing to do with how big our church is, but how big God is in the church. The presence, it brings change. And this is not something that everyone likes. Change, but the presence brings change. You know, sometimes our heart can be, you know, give me good music, give me, you know, give me this, give me the goosebumps, but the change can just sort of stay back there. I don't want that to ever be my heart. I want God. The bigger God is in this house, the more relevant we become. We need to welcome him to change us and also be agents of change to bring others on the journey with us. And I lied, sorry, there's 5 points. I'll have to sit through one more. You doing all right this morning?
Yeah.
This is probably a bit of a different message for me, but hopefully it's making sense and hitting home. So point number 5. There is a plan to bring people closer to God. We don't want to bring people closer to ministry. We don't want to bring people closer to, you know, whatever. We want to bring people closer to God. Yeah. Bring people closer and in deeper relationship with God. You know, I know for me, you know, even in this last 12 months, I've just felt one of the things I kept saying to Pastor Brian is I just feel like God is going deeper. I feel like God's going deeper. Where I thought I was really okay, God's going deeper. You know, where I felt my relationships were tight and sweet, God is going deeper. You know, where I felt that there's things in my life that I'd really broken through, God is going deeper. You know, so there's a plan to bring people closer to God. So, you know, we don't want to chase, you know, ministry is not bad. Being in leadership is not bad. That is all necessary. It's good. We need to, you know, aspire to that sort of thing, but we can't chase that. We need to chase God. God needs to become bigger. God needs to be the defining factor. God needs to be the one and only. So ministry is just a byproduct of living right before God. I think. And I also think God has a plan. God has a plan for you. You know, he sent his son Jesus for you. You know, John 3:16 says, what does it say? For God so loved. Yes. For God so loved the world. Jeez, that's harsh when you forget that scripture, isn't it? Obviously didn't pass Bible college. Who's the little kid laughing at me? I'm getting heckled by a little baby. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know, the heart, the whole drive of God is that you would be found in him. that you would come closer to him, that you would go deeper with him. You know, I'm just so, that's what I want our church to be like. Relevant, not necessarily cool or anything like that. I want to, you know, let's do that sort of stuff, but I want the tangible presence of God. You know, I want when people come in to feel like there's absolute hope that they can break through, that they can find their Lord and Savior, that they're gonna, you know, it may not always be comfortable, but there'll be truth. There'll be a whole lot of love. A whole lot of love. And I hope you feel love in this place. I hope you feel welcomed into this place. There's a whole lot of love, but there's some truth that goes with it. Because I want to be able to stand in the day. You know, I want to be able to stand on my own two feet and not rely on someone else's revelation. You know, rely on someone else's, you know, encounter with Christ. I want to have my own encounter, my own revelation, you know, with God so that I can stand, you know, that I'm strong in his word. Does that make sense? So what makes the church relevant? Firstly, there's a power to meet the needs of the people in the house. Secondly, there is power to transform lives permanently. Thirdly, there is the message of truth. Fourthly, there is the tangible presence of God in our midst. And number five, there's a plan to bring people closer to God. And I just want to encourage you as I finish, you know, just around that story of the man at the well that had been there for 38 years. Just took one fresh encounter, one word, and it just sorted it out. It fixed it. So I encourage you, if you've been, you know, holding on to things or pressing into God or, you know, crying out to God for some sort of change, for some sort of breakthrough or things like that, today could be your day. This week could be your week. Does that make sense? One fresh word, hopefully, maybe something I said this morning just triggered something in you. You know, maybe something that you felt you encountered God this morning in some way. Was that fresh encounter? Was that fresh word? How about we stand? I'm done. I'd be really happy to pray for people if they want prayer this morning, but maybe just before we finish, if you just close your eyes or bow your head, I do just want to give, like I said, I don't know everyone in this room this morning and I don't know where everyone's hearts are at this morning, but I do want to make sure I give people the opportunity to meet with him. I hope you've had a great morning. I hope you've encountered God. I hope you got something out of that message, but more than anything, I just hope and pray that you meet him. And I just want to give you the opportunity this morning. Like I said, I don't know where you're all at, but if you don't know Jesus, or if you don't know, you know, if you're not feeling 100%, you know, in your relationship with Jesus, then I'd just really love to give you the opportunity this morning to find him. And it is just as easy with every head bowed. I don't want to embarrass you or anything like that, but if you just, you know, want to meet with Jesus, maybe start on this process or journey to understanding and finding him, then I'd just love to be able to introduce you this morning and even pray with you. So if that's you this morning, just want to encourage you to raise your hand. I won't rush off from this because I think this is an important, one of the most important things. It's making sure our hearts are right before him. Well, I think we're done this morning. I just feel God here. I don't know about you.